Mike Harpel, I'd like to call on you and have you tell us a little bit about your career after prep school. You're muted, Mike.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Can.
Okay, great. Thanks, Art. I dropped out of high school and got a regular Army appointment. I got into prep school. Prep school was a great, it was probably the biggest break of my life. And I wanted a RA appointment. But I left the academy in the fall of our yearling year to get married. It wasn't a tough decision. But at any rate, of course, I had to return to the Army and finish my enlistment. And that was tough when you're trying to live as a PFC with a wife and an infant daughter. It was when the Army paid once a month and you took your pop bottles back and cashed them in so you could get enough gas to get in the post to get paid. But at any rate, I survived that. And my wife won a settlement on an auto accident. So when I got out of the Army, I worked in El Paso for about a year and then went back to the University of Wisconsin. But too soon, the money ran out. We had two more daughters, so here were three daughters and trying to make it. But at any rate, I joined the Border Patrol. I spent 5 years in the Border Patrol and at the same time completed a college degree nights and weekends. And so in early 1968, I had 5 years of law enforcement experience and a four-year degree. And I never felt, after I left West Point, I was left with a feeling of duty undone. And Vietnam came along, and that was our generation's war. And you guys were over there. I wasn't. And I wanted to be, so I applied for a direct commission. I didn't get it. When I finally got the reason for it, it was that I had fouled my nest by leaving West Point to marry. So I found I got a job with the U.S. Agency for International Development as a civilian. I went to Vietnam.
I think he must have, for some reason, popped out. Gosh. Art, do you know kind of the rest of the story there? That was very touching.
Well, what I was going to say is that Mike was involved, he mentioned in aid, USAID, but he also was involved after the war with boat people and spent a lot of time and was very much involved in trying to save some of those folks that were sort of trying to evacuate Vietnam via boat. And he wrote several books about it, some very, very interesting books. Anyway, I'm sorry that he dropped off and couldn't continue his story. Anyway, to wind things up, as far as the prep school is concerned, I'd like Ed Brown to take over and give us a little bit of summaries. Just one of the things that Ed has done is, as the youngest member of this of our group, or I think he is, he's probably going to be involved the longest. So he's been nominated to be the scribe and the note taker for all of us. And he's done that both for West Point and for the prep school. So Ed, you've got the con.
Okay, thanks, Art. Can everyone hear me? Jim's put up something on, can everyone hear me?
Yeah, yes. We can hear you.
Okay. As Art said, he asked me to give you some numbers about us. And I think many of you have come back to the prep school reunions, have seen something like is on the screen right now, but that's the basis of some of the numbers that I'm going to give you. When I started developing the prep school database, I used our yearbook, The Graduate, as the source. And in that book, there are 128 names. 90 of those of us entered West Point in 1957. 38 of us graduated in June of 1961. Two of the 90 who entered graduated in 62, and one graduated from the Naval Academy in 1964. Five of our classmates who did not get into West Point with us returned to USMAPS in 1957 at Fort Belvoir and entered West Point with a class of and graduated in 62, and three of them graduated, and one graduated in 1963. Some of the numbers as cadets, if you all remember, Ed Lardon was our first classmate to pass away, and he died on the 4th of November, 1957, as a result of a heart attack, and I think he was on a swimming team at the time. We achieved some notoriety as in our cadet days, and as first classmen, our classmates had the positions of brigade commander, brigade adjutant. We had one battalion commander, and we had three company commanders. Academically, we excelled. We had three-star men as plebes, two as yearlings, one as a cow, two for first class year, but three were star men upon graduation. So we did fairly well academically. As officers, as it shows here, we had five general officers: Bill Reno, Rusty Dyer, Bob Mitchell, who did not get into West Point, but ended up being the adjutant general of the state of Indiana, J.B. Taylor, and Tom Moore, who got in with us, but was turned back and graduated in 62 and retired as a California National Guard. In addition to the five general officers, 12 of us retired as colonels, 22 as lieutenant colonels. I think one as a Navy commander, three as majors, and one as a captain. You see on the chart here that two of our classmates received a Distinguished Service Cross. We had six classmates who were awarded eight Distinguished Service Medals. We had six classmates who were awarded nine Silver Stars. Six classmates were awarded 12 Purple Hearts, and 12 classmates were awarded the Combat Infantry Badge. You can see on here the folks that are in the Ranger Hall of Fame, the Infantry OCS Hall of Fame, and as Steve Denny had mentioned, Jim Scott is going to be inducted in the Army Aviation Hall of Fame. Jim is also in the Georgia Military Veterans Hall of Fame, and of course, Gabe was the founder of the Sport Parachute Team and is in the Hall of Fame of Parachuting. Two classmates are honored on the class monument at Reconciliation Plaza at West Point: Jack Sigg, who was killed in action in Vietnam, and Fred Daniloff, who died as a result of an aircraft accident on an OV-1 Mohawk test flight. Time has not been too kind with us, as we are a little bit older than our other classmates. Of the 128 that I have in the database, I know of 56 who have passed away. 42 of the 90 who entered in 57 have passed away, and 14 that I know of who did not enter West Point. That includes 22 of the 38 of us who entered have passed away. Of the living classmates with whom I have contact, Ken Meisner mentioned Kermit McGinnis. He's the oldest one that we have. John Purdy is just 15 days younger. So John is currently still with us. He's the oldest one on the screen right now. of the living graduates, Bill Reno is the oldest. He'll be 87 next month. And as Art Downey mentioned, I am the youngest. And as John Purdy mentioned, I was 12 years old when I went to prep school. I am now, in one day, I'll be 84. So we range in age from 84 to 87. And I wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and all the best for the new year. And hope we're still all around next year. We can do this again.